Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 28. I just feel a necessity to talk about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. The parson to person this morning. Missionaries out fulfilling the Great Commission, feeling being driven. The Apostle Paul said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." He said necessity was laid on him to do that. And I look at us, us as Christians, our church, but I look at Christians in general, and I go, do we have that drive in our heart? The scripture tells us that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passing away. Behold, all things are being made new. And we live in a culture that is me-centered. We preach a gospel that says Jesus came to meet your need. And that's true. He did. He didn't come to make us good. He didn't die to make us good people. He came to make us his people. And that in obedience to him, as we fellowship with him, we get good, if that will make sense. He makes us good judicially. He makes us right before him. And then he puts within himself by the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives in us. And so, as we like to say, he gave his life for us, that he might give his life to us, that he might live his life through us. And yet, the church in America is a church that, for the most part, is a church that's always looking to have its needs met. How I feel. How am I feeling? Me. You know, I want to feel better. I want to look better. Is there not is that necessarily a bad thing? No. We all have needs. But the point is, you know, you don't go to the hospital. How many people here just love going to the hospital? Well, yeah, you get paid. But I'm thinking, you know, I spend a lot of time at the hospital, and I've come to appreciate the fact that as long as I'm walking under the lights instead of laying down and looking up, you're ahead of the game, you know, to some degree. But the fact is, hospitals are designed to get the people back out, not to keep them there. It is also the reality that most people don't work there. In a restaurant, most of the people in a restaurant are not the workers, they're the customers. Okay? But the whole point of the gospel, the whole point of Jesus Christ is, the whole point of the Christian life is that we're to be the workers. He gives, like myself, those who teach Bible studies, you know, Wednesday, whatever, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. It's letting other people know about Jesus Christ. And the real question is, why are not more Christians, more of us? Paul said, woe is me. What he's saying is, I am driven to preach. Necessity is laid on me. There are Christians who that it's driven them. Now, does that mean that they're to go out and be missionaries? No, not in some technical sense. But I have to wonder how many Christians are driven to share the gospel rather than to get their needs met. We are to be need meters because we've had our needs met in Christ. We run to the world for our counsel. We run to the world for our wisdom, our guidance and direction. Guys, now everything in the world out there you can get advice from help. Isn't all bad. But what I want us to know is, with our mouth we say we believe this is the Word of God. But I wonder, with our life, if we really do. Do you realize that everything that any human in all of history has ever needed to live a successful, productive, happy life is in here? And everything in the world is designed to get you out of here. Everything in this world is designed to get you to miss God, and we call that sin. To be off target. Everything. We don't just have some disagreements with the world. It's going this way, and we're going that way. And Jesus was having a constant problem with Israel, getting them to not take up the gods of the other people, to not have any of the gods beside him. And I think that the same thing exists in us. He told us to live in this world. We have to. Did Jesus love this world? For God so loved the world. That's us. But not the world system. Because he tells us not to love the world nor the things of the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. What are those about? They're about me. Jesus came to deliver me from me. He came to make us others-centered. So in the Great Commission, I want to ask us this morning, as we take this table is for disciples, and the question is, am I a disciple? I may be a Christian, but am I a disciple? So verse 16 of chapter 28 of Matthew, he said, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountains in which Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Are there doubters in our crowd this morning? I'll bet. Did we come here to worship him? Yes. Do the doubters worship? Yeah. Do the worshipers doubt? Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, what's it all about, Alfie? You know, what's it all about, Lord? Why am I here? What am I doing? We have our pet things that as Christians are around Calvary Chapels that we're supposed to be against. We're supposed to not like 40 days of purpose. We were supposed to not like the purpose-driven life because whatever. I didn't read the purpose-driven life, so I'm not going to bash it, but I went down the chapter headings in the purpose-driven life, and it was pretty radical, because I was raised, if you don't know what you believe, if you don't know where you stand, you'll fall for anything. And so I was always taught that every person, and we've been over this a gazillion times, that every person in life is asking a question, who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? And how am I going to get there? I'm looking over the headings of the chapters of the purpose-driven life and goes, who are you? What are you doing here? Where are you going? Where'd you come from? What are you doing here? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? I go, oh, that's radical stuff. I didn't find those exact words in my Bible. But once I come to Christ, Christ came to tell us who we are. We were his creation. And we're his children by creation, but we're not his children by spirit. We must be born again. Amen? So he came and he says, I want to tell you who you are. I want to tell you where you came from. I want to give you something while you're here. I want to give you something to do while you're here, and I want to tell you where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. So who am I? I'm a child of God. Where did I come from? I came from the mind and heart of God. What am I doing here? I'm here to know God and walk in fellowship with him and share that with others. How am I going to get there? Where am I going? I'm going to heaven. How am I going to get there? By grace. Guys, there is nothing more to the Christian life. There is nothing more to the Christian life. That's it. And then he gives this commission. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much is all? Except that which I'm concerned about. Except that for which I want for myself. You know, Pastor Romaine used to say, that the most popular, there's the 12 tribes of Israel right on it, but the Christian tribe is the Yebet tribe. We belong to the Yebets. Yebetai. Going on, Yebet. What are you doing? Yebet. I would, but. Yebet. Yebet. Very popular tribe in the Christian church. Other people in other churches belong to that tribe. This is all authority. Am I a man or a person under authority? Whose authority is it? Is it the authority of Jesus Christ? Not as if the authority of rules and regulations, so much as it is the authority of one who rules in such a way in my life that it regulates my life. That the rule of my heart, the prime directive for us Trekkies, is that our goal becomes his goal. He gave his life for me, that he might give his life to me, that he might live his life through me. The issue is, when he comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit, what does he bring with him? He brings his heart for a lost and dying world. He doesn't bring his heart. We look, is it chaotic out there? Is our politics chaotic? Okay. He came that we might not be chaos, that we might be standing still in the midst of it. Years and years ago, I'm told this story. I believe I know it's true, but I'll say I believe it to be true. There used to be a guy named Arthur Blessett. And he, back in the 60s, Arthur Blessett was famous because he had a heart attack and the doctor told him he needed to exercise and they told him he couldn't work anymore. So he says, I got to be doing something till I die. So he built a cross and he put it on roller skate on the back and he carried that cross all across America. He just walked. Waiting to die. Well, I'm told that I think it was Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin were in Jerusalem. And there was this big, I know it was Menachem Begin, and I think it was Sadat, but that they were, as it were, enemies, and there's this big conference, and they're all there, and Arthur Blessett comes walking into the middle of this crowd up to Begin and I think Sadat, the other guy. And your eyes looking, he says, I've come to pray for you. He brought the cross of Christ in the middle of the most contentious relationships in all the world. Have you noticed it's still contentious over there? But what did he bring? Like Jesus Christ came and brought a cross to the exact center of human history to deliver us from death, from hell, and from ourselves and from all the evil that's in this world to bring order to chaos, and he brings it one person at a time. And this communion table, I claim that I'm a part of that. But the Great Commission is, now that I've removed you from being a part of that, I've redeemed you, I have forgiven you of your sin. Now go and tell others. Go and tell others. Now I can lay a guilt trip on you and say how many people you led to Christ this year, or this month, or this week. That's not my point. The issue is, are you sharing your faith? Yesterday, I did a memorial service for Jean Roberts, who her husband, Gene Roberts, G-E-N-E, and then she, J-E-A-N, they've lived in, Steve Wilson went to school, I guess Mr. Roberts was his Sunday school teacher, it was a school teacher here in Paradise. But the point is that where Gene Roberts went, the lady, everybody knew she was saved. She would pick up people on the side of the road. A little old lady would pick up people on the side of the road just to tell them about Jesus. Okay? You know, and that's vulnerability, isn't it? So, her life was to share Jesus with anybody. She didn't go to the foreign field. Where's her mission field? Her mission is here. At CMA, there's a sign that says, as you leave the parking lot, it says, you are entering your mission field. We come here because God has met our need. And he's promised to meet all of our needs. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Why does he do that? So that we can be about our Father's business. Jesus said that he was about his Father's business. Now, if he came to be about his Father's business, and he lives in my heart, and we as the body of Christ are the temple of the living God, then whose heart do we share? His heart. Listen, guys, we're always trying to get God to understand us. God spent all of his time trying to get us to understand him. That guy you hate, yeah, I love him. Well, you love him, Lord. I remember a friend of mine was, no offense, Carl. a friend of mine who was the son of a famous pastor, we won't mention any other names, was sent to 29 Palms. And he said the Lord told him to go to 29 Palms. He says, Lord, there ain't nothing out there but marines and lizards and rattlesnakes. And he goes, why should I go there? He says, because I love marines, lizards and rattlesnakes. Well, then you go, Lord. And the Lord says, I am in you. I am in you. You say, I love those people. I love those people. He says, so with this authority that's been given to me, if he's in my heart, then it's his authority, it's his life. I'm to share his heart for the lost. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let's think about that for a second. I got a whole bunch of stuff here that I've written down, and we're not going to get into it all this morning except to say this. What's a disciple and what do they do? And I want to suggest to us that I think the Lord brought to my mind 2 Kings chapter 7 of 2 Kings. And the Syrians were up against Israel, and they had sieged Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was starving. The people were inside the city. They're starving to death. The Assyrian army is outside, and the whole world's against them. You ever think the whole world's against you? By the way, it is. It hates you. It's not your imagination. You're not paranoid. You're being real. The only people that aren't real are those that think that everything in the world's okay. I go by the side of her, life is good. No, it ain't. Now, it is good. Is it always bad? No. But you dig what I'm saying? We live in a fallen world. You know the difference between a political and a liberal? People are politically. Liberals see the world as they know it ought to be. We ought to be one world. We ought to be love and everybody getting along. Amen? And all things ought to be fair and equal. But they can't figure out why it doesn't work. And conservatives look at the world and go, this is the real world. It's ugly. We need to change it. The problem is, in all the politics, all we do is add to the chaos. We don't fix anything. Because you don't change our world until you change a man's heart. We've used that illustration. When a man gets right with God, his world gets right. The only solution to all of our stuff is one man at a time. You realize in 100 years, Christians who had no power, no authority, lived under martial law, brought an end, the Spirit of God, through all the other things. They didn't convert Rome, but through the Spirit of God, changed so many lives that Rome was decaying because of its immorality. It was decaying because of its enemies coming in. But Christians changed Rome. And I'm told that there was a plague in like the second century that hundreds of thousands of people were dying, like the bubonic plague. I don't know what the plague was. But that people were leaving their babies and their children and running from Rome, running to get away because people were dying like flies. And as the people of Rome were running from Rome to save their very lives, the Christians who had a reason to live and a reason to die were going back in and taking care of the people who were dying. The government's not in Haiti anymore, but Franklin Graham is. The government's not in New Orleans anymore, but the Christians are. Christ-centered, others-centered. So he says, through his authority, I'm giving you a command, as it were, to go therefore and make a disciple. You have to be a disciple to make disciples. A disciple is one who follows a teacher and then wants to emulate that teacher. You learn from him, and then you give what you've got. You share what you've got to give. Let's say this. Let's say that denominations, which we're all supposed to be bad guys, let's say that denominations are like restaurants. Okay? A lot of different restaurants serving a lot of different kinds of food. Amen? And some are more popular than others. Amen? And even within the realm of the kind of food that they offer is different. You know, you got Oriental, you got Mexican, you got hamburgers, you got, you dig what I'm saying. Well, here's the point. The people that work there can only serve what that restaurant is offering. Every church, every individual church, every denomination offers some part of the Christian walk, but they all offer Jesus Christ. In other words, all those restaurants offer food. But there's food for different tastes, but it's the same food. People come in all shapes and sizes, but there's only one truth, one food, that's Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And so we are to serve Jesus Christ with the uniqueness of our life in our restaurant. Does that make sense? The question is, and we are not to argue with the cook, that's Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, and we're not to change the menu because somebody doesn't like it. You offer them, and you don't mess with the plate. You don't spit in the food. You show up to work ready to go. You care about your customer. Why? Because the reputation of the restaurant owner. Jesus Christ owns all those restaurants. They're all his. And just because you don't like the way the food's cooked at one restaurant doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't like it. Amen? He likes a lot of people we don't like. So with that authority, he says, go therefore with his authority and make a disciple. Becoming a disciple, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you. Now, what is it? And baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is an identification. You lead people to Christ, and you help them to be identified with Christ. That's the whole gospel. Am I identified with Christ? Man, we got tattoos. We got Harley stickers. We've got all kinds of stuff. Oh, but Christianity, religion is personal. Dying and going to hell is personal. Cancer is personal. A cold is personal. It's all personal. Well, keep your religion to yourself. Keep your cold to yourself. Don't come, hey. So, to identify them with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that God, teaching them to observe how many things? What is it that he's commanded us? Now, think about this. What did he command us? Now, there's a second command here. What did he command us? To love one another as he has loved us, and then go out and do the same for those eyes out there. That's it. That's it. The church is the place. We're the Jesus Club. And we come together and we thank him for us. We thank him for him and we thank him for us and we ask him to heal us. There is a need to be met. We come here because we're saved, hopefully. But are we sharing the gospel? There's a whole bunch of people out there. So he says literally go into all the world. He's not talking about Billy Graham crusades. He's literally saying as you're going, are you sharing your faith? Is he the prime victor of your life? I'm not asking you if you're sharing your faith with everyone you see in terms of words. I'm asking us, is my life, my desire, the driving passion of my heart to see everyone I meet saved? Am I looking for God to open that door? Am I willing to speak? Am I willing to walk in? What is my cross? Am I willing to walk in to the Bagans and the Sadats of my life? Am I willing to bring Jesus Christ in the cross everywhere I go? Am I willing to be known as the Jesus freak? Does my life represent? Or is it, am I just whirling around? I don't like this Bible study. I don't like that. Oh, I want to go here and I want to go there. Listen. Would to God that for every Christian on this ridge there was a home Bible study with unsaved people in it led by that Christian. So you think about that. Does that work? That's our prime directive. Is that in our hearts this morning? The Apostle Paul tells us to examine ourselves. So this morning, can we have the guys come up? Let's examine ourselves. What is the driving prime directive of my heart? Am I driven? Like I said, the Apostle Paul said, I can't help it. Now here's the thing, it's interesting. A lot of Christians seem to be driven to have authority in the church. But they don't seem to be driven to save souls. Does that make sense? Actually, it doesn't. But it's true. If we had as much love, starting with moi, to see souls saved as I do to look good and be important to other people, my Christian life would look a lot different. Praise God for grace, amen? You think about that. I'm glad the Lord doesn't forget things, because I almost forgot the point of the Syrian invasion, is that there were four lepers who looked out there. The people inside were starving to death. And the four lepers said to themselves, you know what? Let's go down to the Syrian army. They got food. If we get the food, if they kill us, we're dying anyway. And a prophet had said that the gates would be opened and the people would be filled the very next day. And another prophet said, well, if that's true, that cannot be. And so the four lepers decided to go down and die. They got down there and an angel had run the Syrian army off. The place was full of food. And they're eating the food, and all of a sudden it struck the lepers. You know what? The people in there are starving to death. If we don't tell them that there's food here, we'll be in more trouble than we should be. And so they went and they told. They opened the gates, and the guy who didn't believe was trampled to death, but the people got food. Guys, we're the lepers, that type of sin. Let's not be eating this by ourselves. Let's let a starving world know that there's food. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life, and there's living water. Don't keep it to ourselves. That's what it's all about. And we come to Bible study. We study God's word to get more bread and more water, to nourish ourselves. We need that fellowship. But we become feeding feeders. Does that make sense? I hope. Gary, would you ask God's blessing on the bread?
Father, we just want to thank you for another day you've given us here, Lord. And Lord, bless this church that we have here. We're very grateful to have a group of people like this that worship and love the Lord. And I'm also very grateful for our Pastor Dave. He's such an honorable man. And I say this in Jesus' name, amen.
Just to do this in remembrance of me. You know, in taking that bread, we're saying, yes, Lord, I accept the commission. I accept the identity. You know, we come and present our bodies a living sacrifice, as he told us to, because of his dead one. But we brought our leprosy to him. And this cup represents that he brought his blood to cleanse our leprosy. That he's made us clean. That we're washed in the blood. And we go from here holy, but not just holy, how am I going to say this? We've been made holy by the blood of the Lamb, set apart from our sin unto Jesus Christ. But he wants you to know. He wants you to walk from here with a clean heart today, knowing you're free. Knowing you're free. Rick, would you ask God's blessing on the cup?
Father, we just thank you for the forgiveness of sins, Lord. We also pray that we look to you for everything in our lives, Lord. God, look to you for our strength and our guidance. We lift up this fellowship to you, Lord, and we just thank you in all things. In Jesus' name.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. May the Lord sweeten your life as the juice sweetens your mouth. Let's all stand.
This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact us, Calvary Chapel of Paradise, Post Office Box 295, Paradise, California, 9 9-